The Sunday Business Show with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.
Yes, that's the riff that tells you that you are back to the Sunday Business Show with me, Conal O'Moran. In a minute, I will try yet again to understand Bitcoin, and then we'll tell you why you have only until this Friday to go for growth. Clever Gift is an app used by 500 million people worldwide. It's Irish, and you've probably never heard of it. Arnott's is Ireland's largest department store, but how do you get your products listed there? And I'm told Kim Kardashian has used the Open for Vintage platform, which is a great publicity for its Irish owners. Now, we normally start our Sunday Business Show with a look at the business behind a well-known world brand, but we've been asked so many times in the last couple of weeks about investing in Bitcoin that today we have decided to look at the business behind Bitcoin. Personally, I am a skeptic on the basis that if you don't understand it, don't go near it. And I sure as hell don't understand it, despite reading loads and loads and loads about it. This morning, I am going to have another go at getting to grips with it, though. David Holohan is Chief Investment Officer with Merian Private. He has loads of pieces of paper after his name, so if he doesn't know about Bitcoin, no one does. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Conal.
Bitcoin. Let's just explain very simply what it might be, because I don't believe it is anything, but that's a different story.
Okay, so Bitcoin was set up, give or take about 10 years ago from now, by an individual called Satoshi Nakamoto, who nobody knows who that person actually is, but he did write the initial code that makes it up. And what Bitcoin is, with a capital B, when you see it with a capital B, that's the payment network. With an undercase B, that's the Bitcoins people are used to, and they are on the network, and they allow people to basically switch Bitcoins between each other in a decentralized way. So usually if I was
to give you money
or if I was to go into a shop to buy something, they would use maybe the MasterCard network or the Visa card. So there's another company in the middle, where with Bitcoin it's just person to person, it's peer to peer, and that's the big differentiator. And what it's allowed them to do is create a network that is outside the scope of the financial regulators, it's outside the scope of other large companies, but it also means that there's no backstop protecting people. If it goes wrong, it will go very, very wrong, and it has a few times.
It started life at 1 cent, I think, then it went to $1, and then more recently it was at $10,000 per Bitcoin.
Yeah, so essentially when it started out, one of the rules written into the code was that there could be a maximum amount of Bitcoins. It's read 21 million, but it started really, really small, like about a cent a Bitcoin, and it went up to $1. Some people started writing about it. Again, people thought, okay, this is a move against evil governments and central banks, so they started getting involved with it. It increased around 2011 from $1 up to $32, then fell 80% back to $2, then went up to $250, then dropped 80%. So what it's shown throughout its very short life is that it has a lot of volatility, the price moves an enormous amount, and every time you get people writing about it and expressing interest, you do see a craze, a frenzy of people moving into it. But ultimately, it's something that doesn't add a lot of utility to people's lives. You can't use it for a lot. And all it does is move up and down in price, and people are essentially betting which way it'll go.
And that's just Bitcoin.
Yes.
Because there are other ones. Because again, if you could prove to me, and I know that you're not a fan, but if you could prove to me that there's a finite amount of these Bitcoins, at some stage it might make some sense to me in terms of how to value it. How and ever, outside of Bitcoin, there are other ones.
Yeah, absolutely, because so many individuals figured out, you know, this is amazing. Bitcoin, you know, it's up 11 fold this year, so at the moment it's worth about 180 billion. But people realized, I want to get in on that. So they just started setting up random cryptocurrencies. The name itself is a bit misleading because it's not a currency. It has to be converted into a currency. So there's loads of them out there. But I mean, it's very easy to set up, and none of them have any intrinsic value or any assets behind it. It's just, you know, we could do it tomorrow and make ourselves millionaires. But it's just very, very risky, because everybody is now trying to find the next Bitcoin, hoping that, you know, they'll buy something for a cent and it's going to go up to $10,000. But the likelihood of that happening is very, very remote.
How physical immediately do you buy a Bitcoin?
So you can go to one of the exchanges, and there are numerous ones that have set up. And
I go online.
Yes.
And I check a Google Bitcoin buy.
Yes, essentially, you can go to Google, you can do a search there, and you'll find a number of.
And then, how do I transfer my cash or my credit card cash to a Bitcoin account?
So it's all facilitated in the exchanges. So there's several that have popped up. The problem is there's loads of different exchanges. There's loads of different prices. There's not just one price for Bitcoin. And there was also a case when a few years ago, one of the biggest exchanges, Mt. Gox over in Japan, that actually failed. And quite a lot of people lost a lot of money. So there's a massive risk of hacking in Bitcoin. And because there's no central bank or financial institution behind it, if somebody hacks in and takes your Bitcoins, that's it, they're gone. And that's a risk that, until it happens, people probably have in the back of their minds.
It is ironic that to buy a Bitcoin, that you have to use cash or old-fashioned currency.
And that's the irony. I mean, people are saying, oh, we're trying to get away from, you know, the control of the evil central banks, as some people view them. But ultimately, all Bitcoin will allow you to do is take a Bitcoin, the price will move up and down based on what other people on the network are willing to pay. But you have to convert it back to dollars or euros or pounds to actually do anything with it. So you are simply speculating that the value of Bitcoin will go up. And it has worked for you this year, but, you know, this could easily fall 50-60% in a few days. All it would take is more central banks to say, we're going to regulate this, or we don't think it should be done, and outlaw it, and then it'll collapse.
And specifically Bitcoin, you said that the originator of it, whatever his name is, that he said that there is a finite amount. But how can we believe that? What's the proof of that?
So it's built into the code. So ultimately, that code is locked in.
But can you overwrite a code like that?
Well, a few years ago when they were trying to identify who that individual was, I remember reading one interview where the Bitcoin organization, which manages the code, did say that if the founder did show up and wanted to engage with changing some of the code, he would be facilitated to do that because he was the founder. But there's no way of finding who this individual is or backing it up.
But he or she, if there's an individual, they could be out there writing more Bitcoins as we speak, creating another zillion, grillion, billions worth.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wouldn't be able to do it at the moment in the Bitcoin sense, because that software, that coding is locked away. He couldn't do it remotely. But he could go ahead and set up other Bitcoins. I mean, we know, given the size of the Bitcoins, you can see the ledger at all times, so you don't know the individual. You can just see random numbers and letters assigned. But what is speculated to be the founder, I mean, he has Bitcoin worth billions, and it's just sitting there. So, you know, nobody knows who this individual is, how many Bitcoins he owns, what his ultimate aim is, or you know, what the plan is. So it's amazing it's gone up to the degree it has, but it's just a frenzy. And it's amazing that originally it was set up really to provide people who wanted to deal in illicit goods, whether it was drugs or guns, a way to do it in secret. And even now, if you do a Google search in terms of where Bitcoin, the word usage in search engines is popping up, there's in a lot of countries where people will be trying to, say, move around money without the authorities knowing. And that's one of its principal purposes.
Would I guess from what you have just said that you would, one, not be a fan, and two, would advise people to stay well clear?
Yes. I think Jamie Dimon put it very well a few months ago. So he's the chief executive of JP Morgan, and he said that Bitcoin is a fraud, and that if a JP Morgan trader tried to trade the Bitcoin, he would say he'd fire them in seconds, because they were stupid, and also it's against their rules, and both are dangerous. I would stay well clear of it. I think if you've been on board it, you've made a lot of money potentially if you cash out now. But the volatility, you know, 20% intraday volatility is just nuts. And ultimately, this is simply a frenzy, and it's better to just not get involved.
You heard it here first or last or something. David Holhan of Merion Capital, thank you so much. We're going to have a quick ad break.
The Sunday Business Show with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable, and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness. Today FM.